Welcome into the program today, folks. We're going to start a little series of lessons that is based off the four main points of doctrine that you've probably heard from us. We're going to start looking at the gospel you can believe, a life that you can live, the Bible study you can understand, and the Bible that you can trust. And we're going to start working on these four things, and out of these four things is going to come a lot of main points that we would like you to come to a knowledge of. And basically what we're going to do here is I want to ask that you study along with us. And I know a lot of times it's going to get tough, it's going to get hard. A lot of people don't like to study. We like to sit back and listen to things. But we want you to have a knowledge of the Bible, because God wants you to have knowledge of the Bible, not just as a devotional piece, but actually something that you can live by. And that's the second point of the four points of doctrine that we're talking about here, the life that you can live. God has a prescribed way for us to live today, and these four points allows us to do away with all the confusion that we see throughout our lives and throughout church history and even in our churches today. And it adds clarity to our daily life. And so we're going to start talking about a gospel that you can believe. And the first question is are all gospels the same? And a lot of people are kind of taken aback by that. Do you realize that there's actually more than one gospel that's presented throughout Scripture? For instance, there's a gospel of the kingdom that John the Baptist, Jesus Christ himself, the 12 apostles preached. And that gospel of the kingdom goes all the way back to David. God tells David that he's going to have a throne and that Jesus Christ is going to sit on that throne in the kingdom. Then there's another gospel, it's called the gospel of the circumcision, that goes before David and goes back to Abraham. And then there's another gospel that's called the gospel of the uncircumcision, which goes back before David, which goes back before Abraham, to when his name was Abram, before his name was changed to Abraham. There's also a message of reconciliation that goes back past David, past Abraham, past Abram, to Adam, that God wants to reconcile the world unto himself. And then there's another message, it's called the mystery, that goes back before David, that goes back before Abraham, that goes back before Abram, that even goes back before Adam, before the foundation of the world. And it's to fulfill the good pleasure of God's will. So we just see at least five different ones right here that we know of. The question is, which one are we to preach? Which one are we to put our trust in? Which one is going to allow us to live the life that God has prescribed for us in Scripture? Now, I know a lot of people that present the sinner's prayer as a way to salvation. A lot of people say, well, you have to ask Jesus into your heart. A lot of people say you have to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Some people do it quietly. They say every head bowed and every eye closed. And some people do it publicly. They say that you must come forward. And some people say that you must come forward, repent of your sins, confess your sins, and be baptized. But we want to take a look at a few of these things, and then we're going to tell you what God tells, what God says is the gospel that we're going to be saved by. What is it that we're going to be judged by? And that's what we're going to take a look at. That way you know the gospel that you can believe to be saved. So, first of all, let's just take a look at a few verses here. And like I said, we're going to go through some verses. One of the greatest things about it is we have a book that we can go to. A book that we can go to, read, learn from, understand, and apply to our lives. First of all, I want to start Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start looking at verse 8. We're going to read through verse 15. And of course, most people, if you've turned there already, you realize that this is the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 8, we're going to read down through verse 15. It says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And notice he says, after this manner, it's a model prayer. It's not something that we have to recite. And one of the main things is Jesus Christ talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, groups of people, tells them that all you do is repeat prayers, the same prayers over and over. So this isn't a prayer that he's given them to repeat. He's giving them a model. But the main thing we want to look at, let's continue reading. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now I want you to flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to keep in mind, keep a finger in Matthew chapter 6 there. And then I want you to flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 30 through 32. Now keep in mind what it says over in Matthew chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, Paul tells us and says, And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now over in Matthew chapter 6, verses 8 through 15, what did we read there? Verse 14 and 15, verse 15 specifically. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And what does Ephesians chapter 4 say? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. He tells us that there's something different now. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, I'm not an English major, but that tells me that there's something different. If one verse tells me that I have to forgive people in order for God to forgive me, and then another verse says that we are allowed to forgive one another for Christ's sake, He has already hath forgiven you. So let's take a look at this. There's two different things going on here. Now, just to let you all know, I'm not a person that thinks that there's contradictions in the Bible. The Bible actually is laid out a certain way. These are two different things going on. These are two different gospels going on, but they're not contradictions. There's two different gospels. In Matthew chapter 6, you have the gospel of the kingdom that we were talking about at the very beginning that goes back to David, that God would set up a kingdom on the earth, and the throne of that kingdom, Christ would sit on that throne. In Ephesians chapter 4, we have the message, the gospel, that Paul was given. It's called the mystery. They're two different gospels, but the Bible is not contradicting itself. There's two different things. One tells us that in order to be forgiven, we must forgive. The other one says you're allowed to forgive because you've been forgiven. Now, that is two different things. There's two different programs going on here. And if you continue to listen on with us, we'll actually get to see what that difference is and how God Himself has set up that difference. I want you also to flip over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 70. Luke chapter 1, verse 70. Well, actually, let's start in verse 68. Luke chapter 1, verse 68 says, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a second. If you want a really, really good study, study who God's people is. When you read the Bible, you're going to find out his people is the nation of Israel. And contrary to most popular beliefs, the church, the body of Christ, is not spiritual Israel and that we've taken over. God, when he first came, when Jesus Christ actually first came, he was going to redeem his people. And actually, verse 68 is actually a quotation from the book of Psalms. It's a prophesied redemption for the nation of Israel. Verse 69, he says, "And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." So, remember, the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, goes back to David. So this is actually what he's talking about. The house of his servant David, that's the kingdom that he's talking about. So this is actually the gospel of the kingdom. This is the kingdom gospel. And that's actually a quotation from 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3. But it continues on and says, "As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." Verse 71 says that we should be saved. Now, who's the we there? His people. Based on the context of what is being spoken here, verse 68 says that the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Verse 71 says that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. The salvation that verse 71 and verse 74 is talking about is actually the physical salvation that the nation of Israel has to go through the tribulation period. They will be saved from their enemies. That's actually what this verse is talking about. It's preparing the nation of Israel for the tribulation period. But notice what verse 70 says. "As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been," notice the next four words, "since the world began." Now, I want you to flip over real quick to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Actually, we'll start in verse 19. Look up real quick in verse 12, Acts chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel." So that sets the stage for who he's going to be talking to here. Verse 19, "Repent ye, Israel, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets." And what's the next four words? "Since the world began." Now this, if you compare verse with verse, as we are supposed to, this verse compared with Luke chapter 1, verse 70, they're talking about the same thing. They're presenting the nation of Israel, ye men of Israel, verse 12, with the gospel of the kingdom. And it's been spoken of since the world began. Now I want you to look at one other passage. Hold your hand there and go to Romans chapter 16. Hold your hand in Luke chapter 3, or Acts chapter 3, and go over to Romans chapter 16. We're going to start reading verse 25. Paul says here, "Now to him that is of power to establish you," and that word "establish" means to make you stable, to establish you, "according to my gospel." Now, notice here that Paul specifically states that there is a gospel that's called my gospel. It's Paul's gospel. And that is what is going to establish you. Keep reading. "And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now, as I said, hold your hand in Acts chapter 3. Go back to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 21. And this is the same wording as in Luke chapter 1 verse 70. Acts chapter 3 verse 21 says, "Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." So here we have something that was spoken since the world began. Romans chapter 16 verse 25 says, "Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." Now, once again, this is two different things. It's not a contradiction because it's two different things. Two different programs. If it was one program and one thing was told or spoken of since the world began and another thing was kept secret since the world began, if it's one program, it's a contradiction. It's two different programs, so it's not a contradiction. There's actually something different going on today. Let's keep reading. In verse 26 of Romans 16. So this was something that was kept secret since the world began. But verse 26 says, "But now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." Now notice there's actually three different things here that God is going to establish you with. According to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now manifest. The third thing is, and by the scriptures of the prophets. So, we don't throw away the Old Testament. We need the Old Testament. We need the things that were written down for our learning by His holy prophets. So there's three different things that we need in order to be established, to be made stable. Now I want you to flip over to Romans chapter 2, we'll start in verse 15. Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Let's start in verse 14. "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law in themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also being bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another." Verse 16, I want you to look at this. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." We were looking at, we first listed five different gospels at the beginning of the program. Romans chapter 16, verse 25, Paul talks about the fact that we're going to be established, being made stable by his gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And the third thing was by the scriptures of the prophets. But I want you to look at this. What does this say? "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." So if you want to know what you're going to be judged by, right here it is. It's according to the gospel that Jesus Christ revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. I know a lot of people have problems with this, but I want you to write down in your Bible, next to this verse, some scripture references, and we'll take a look at some of these. Right next to verse 16, I want you to write Romans 16, verse 25, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5, Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. So you know what Paul's gospel is. There's 6 verses of scripture that you can reference to this verse. Paul has a gospel that Jesus Christ revealed to him. We're going to take a look at a couple of these verses before time runs out. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, starting verse verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So, what does Paul's gospel have to do with? It has to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we realize Paul is not the first person to say that Jesus Christ would be resurrected. Jesus Christ himself told the apostles and everybody around him, says, this temple will be destroyed, but it'll be built back up within 3 days. Basically telling them he was going to go and die and then be resurrected. We know that throughout Scripture we have the fact that Jesus Christ was going to die, would be buried, and raised again. But there's something special according to this. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now I want you to flip over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Now, this is the gospel that Paul is preaching is not something that he received from a man. In fact, verse 12, that's what he says. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. So this is something, Paul's gospel is something that was revealed to him. It wasn't something that he learned as a Pharisee. He tells us that he's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was in Israel's religious system, and he was never taught this gospel. He says that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in fact, verse 13 and 14 and 15, he talks a little bit about how he lived in the Jewish religion and how he profited in the Jewish religion. So we know that Paul was a Pharisee. Right here in these verses, it tells us this gospel that he preached was not something that was taught by any man previous to him. It was only by the revelation of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus is when it began. That's when Jesus Christ started to reveal to Paul a new gospel. Something different than what the 12 apostles were preaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why you have a different program in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the first part of Acts, that was spoken since the world began. Now you have something different that was kept secret. Something that was not revealed before. And it's been kept secret since the world began. I want to take a look at a couple more verses. Let's get 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. We could run through a lot of different scriptures, but I just want to give you something to think about until next time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll start in verse 3. And Paul's talking to the people at Thessalonia here. Verse 2, he's saying that he's giving God thanks for them to make mention of their church in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Verse 5 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. This church was living the gospel so much that they didn't even have to say a word, and people knew what was going on. They knew something was different with this group of people. And in fact, verse 3, the work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope, we will get into that one day. If you want to take a look at a true biblical church, the church at Thessalonica, that was it. That was the model church. And one thing was taken away from them, and that's why Paul had to write a second book to them. Their patience of hope was actually taken away because some people told them that the rapture had already been taken, has already taken place. But we will look at that one day. One final verse, and we'll conclude today. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll read verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. If you want to know the verses of Scripture that will tell a person that you are saved if you trust this, this is the passage. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." So he's getting ready to tell us what the gospel is. "Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." So there is a standing that you can have based upon this gospel. And the word there, you also have, also ye have received. It's not just hearing, but it's hearing and then trusting. Verse 2, "by which also ye are saved." So this gospel is going to tell you how to be saved. "If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you," don't forget what I preached unto you, "unless you have believed in vain." And the words "believed in vain" is believing the wrong thing. So he's saying, if you remember what I told you and didn't believe the wrong thing, if you believed what I'm getting ready to say, then you're saved. If you believe the wrong thing, you're not saved. Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." And received it from who? We looked at the verse. It was Jesus Christ that revealed it to him. It wasn't a man. "For that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." So it's the death of Christ. That's the first part. "And that he was buried." That's the second part. "And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." And he continues on there. But verses 1 through 4, actually technically verse 3 and 4, is the gospel. Verses 3 and 4 is the gospel that Paul had revealed to him. That if you hear and then trust, if you receive the knowledge of the death, burial, and resurrection, if you hear it and then trust that and that alone, you're saved. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to do anything special. Right there where you are, whether you're in your vehicle or at your home, you can make that decision today. Trust in the death, burial, and resurrection, and that alone, and you'll be saved. We've come to a stopping point for today, but we will pick this up again the next time and continue on with a gospel that you can believe. So we thank you for joining today, and be sure to be back with us the next time.